would this morning and open up to Psalm chapter number 26 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter number 26 in the Word of God. And we started a journey over the last several weeks here in the book of Psalms. We've entitled this series we're going to go through on Sunday mornings, A Journey Through the Psalms. And if you're visiting with us today, once again, we do welcome you to Cross Point Baptist Church. And we are so glad that you are here today, whether it's your first time or first time in a long time. We want to welcome you here. If you have not had a chance to get back to our welcome table, be sure to get back there. And we'd love to get a welcome of your visit today. My wife and I will be at the back after this morning service. Love to shake your hand and get to know you just a little bit better. It's good to see some of those who have been out for a little while. Brother Bill Moore and others, we do praise the Lord that you're here today, and I trust that you've been in prayer that the Lord would meet with us as we open up the Word of God, and as we dive into the Word, that God would give us exactly what He would have for us today. Psalm chapter number 26, would you please stand with me for the Word of God today? Psalm chapter number 26, I'd like for us to look at really two verses. We're going to travel through an expository manner through this passage, but really just for the next couple of moments, let's look at these first two verses. And if your health allows you to, would you please stand out of respect for the Word of God, and let's start in the first two verses of Psalm chapter number 26. Would you please follow along as I read? The Bible says this: Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. If you look at the first two verses in 2021, not a lot of people talk like this anymore. I mean, how many people start in the Word of God by saying, judge me? We live in a world where nobody likes to be judged. Don't judge me. Don't talk about me. Don't you judge me. No, judge not. Judge. And like, even the lost world accuses Christians, and they know that verse in the Word of God. You know, doesn't your Bible say, judge not? Shouldn't you? We shouldn't be judged. And yet, we put our entire life out there on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and everything else. But no, don't you judge me. Don't judge me. Here the psalmist is writing in the first two words. Isn't it amazing? He says, judge me. In verse number two, the first two words, examine me. What if we entered into this auditorium with the same mindset? Judge me. This morning I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and preach on a message entitled, A Deep Relationship. A Deep Relationship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Father, thank you, Lord, for the music today. Lord, we trust that it has honored and glorified you. Father, I love in this song that Sarah just sang, The Old Rugged Cross. Lord, there's just a lot of truth in what we've sang today. Lord, we just ask now, Savior, as we approach the Word of God, that, Savior, we do so in such a manner that we'd rightly divide the Word of truth. That, Father, we would learn of you, that no matter what circumstance we are in today, Lord, I'm going to even put it this way, Father, whatever mood we're in right now, that, Father, we'd walk out these doors more like you, in tune with your Word. Father, I ask, Lord, that we would take on your attributes and your attitudes. I ask, Savior, Lord, for those that are watching via live stream or sitting right here, and Lord, we really, truly would allow the Holy Spirit to, well, Father, to convict us. Savior, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say. That, Father, I deliver this message in such a manner that you'd be glorified, that you'd be honored, that you'd be exalted, that, Father, you'd have free reign in our hearts today. Lord, it's not the preacher that steps on the toes. It's the Holy Spirit that quickens our heart. It's the Word of God that pierces us, Savior. And we're asking, Father, for that piercing today. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we lay a foundation here in this psalm, there is some groundwork often at times that must be laid. David wrote this psalm, and we do not know exactly when he wrote this psalm, but the psalm quite clearly reflects a time of national crisis when people were dying under the judgment of God. Different historians and commentators go back and forth as to the exact time when David in his life penned these words, but we do understand through the preservation of the Holy Spirit that we have this psalm here in Psalm 26 for us today. Much can be learned in studying from this man who had some ups and downs in his life. There is no doubt that David had an ebb and flow that came from the life that we have in the Word of God. There was some good and some bad that you and I begin to comprehend by studying David. He, like all men, made his fair share of mistakes, but there is no doubt, we even learn this from the New Testament, that David had an absolute heart for God. And in Psalm chapter number 26, we really begin to see David's true heart revealed. We understand as we lay a platform, or may I put it this way, a foundation today, that David here had an appeal. The appeal for the Lord's judgment. Look with me at verse number 1 and watch what the Bible says. It says, look at the first two words, judge me. David understood that God was the ultimate judge. There is no doubt in David's life, just like in the life of you and I, that David did have those that would judge his life. There were those that looked at him. There were those that talked about him. There were those that thought they knew him. There were those that would insinuate things about him. And yet, when we look at verse number 1, David is not asking a congregation. David is not asking family. David is not putting it out there if he was living in 2021 on social media to be judged. No, David began to talk to the one who he knew was the ultimate judge, and that judge is God our Father. And friend, if you and I could take anything from this very first two words is this, that God is our ultimate judge. When you and I begin living our lives, understanding and comprehending that truly everything we do and say, people judge us from the outside, and man knoweth the outward appearance, but God knows the heart. God can see what you and I are thinking right now. Right now. No, I mean like right now. Well, I didn't like this, and oh, it's 11:12, and oh, we got to get out here. Oh, the Sunday school lesson, he didn't get through the lesson again, and oh, you know, I'm not picking on Brother Harvey today, I'm just, Sunday school lesson, and you know, oh, I'm hungry right now, and oh, did you hear my stomach, and oh, this, and can you believe they put that on Facebook, and oh, you know, this tie really doesn't match, and oh, my shoes are hurting right now. Isn't it amazing that we can sit here, and underneath our mask, we have a smile on our face, but and we can act like everything's good and great, but isn't it amazing that God knows you and I. He knows our thoughts. He knows the future. He knows how you and I are going to meet him one day. He understands what happened yesterday and what's happening in our life. And when you and I begin to live our lives understanding that God is our judge, truly, listen now, we are going to live a much happier life. Why? Because we understand that our life is going to be lived for him and not for the applause of man, not what everybody else perceives about us, not living up to everybody else's preferences and everybody else's standards and everybody else, what everybody else thinks. Isn't it amazing? Listen, the day and age we live, we can go through our entire life. We can go to church. We can put tithe in the offering plate. We can we can teach a Sunday school class. We can, Lord willing, sing in a choir again one day. And we can do all these things. And we live our entire life for somebody else. What's somebody else going to think? Well, I probably shouldn't do this because so-and-so is going to think this. Well, you know, I really want to do this, but, you know, so-and-so's standard is this. Well, this is. Isn't it amazing that we can go through our entire lives, we can live the Christian life so worried about what everybody else comprehends about us when ultimately, truly, we're not living our life for everybody else. Comprehend this. If we want real joy in our life, we have to get back living the life like the psalmist did in judge me, not world, not Facebook, not family, not religion. No, God be the ultimate judge. It was David's appeal. But David also had a desire here. Look at verse number 1. He says this, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. David truly had a desire to walk as a man who was in love with God, who was in tune with him. Integrity here in our English language ought to be something that Christians are known for today. I'm not talking about integrity, watch very carefully, just in church. I'm talking about as you and I live our lives, we ought to be known for men and women in this culture, in this society, in this surrounding area, in this county, whether it's Marion County or Hendricks County or Avon, wherever you travel from today, Indianapolis, we ought to be known in this area as people who have integrity. Now, let me just pause right here. We used to have even a nation that had integrity. I know that my father was saved at a later age, 26 years old, when him and my mother got saved. And Dad talks of a time growing up north when there was, even though he was not in a saved family, there were still morals in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. There's men and women, even lost men and women, had what we like to call character. Have you noticed in our nation we're losing that? We're losing our integrity. I remember being a young kid, and I don't know, probably Tommy's age, 10, 11 years old, and my father invested in a turkey farm in, it wasn't Ashe County, it was Cabarrus County in North Carolina, and my dad was in a hospital administration, and he bought this turkey farm. This day, I really, truly don't understand why he bought it. We're going to raise 20,000 turkeys. He said it was for an investment. I think it was to teach all 8 of us kids how to really work. You know what I mean? As 10-year-old shoveling manure and taking care of these, you know, turkeys. Then we got chickens. Then we had some goats. And I remember being a young man, and there was this, his name was Mr. Curley. The guy looked just like, the guy looked just like Santa Claus. I mean, the guy who owned the farm, literally, I'm just staring at him like, I'm being good. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But he looked just, Mr. Curley looked just like Santa Claus. He always had a pipe in his mouth and just tobacco going all the time. Just this old farmer back in North Carolina. And I remember my dad and Mr. Curley walking around this farm, showing him the houses. We had not bought it yet. Showing him the houses, showing him the turkeys. This is how it works. Here's who's the contracts through. Just this old time farmer and overalls, and just showing my dad the ropes before we bought it. And I remember we got down to the end, and I'm just sitting there, I'm just following these two men around, and this is the honest truth. We got there at the very end of the whole conversation, and here's what took place. Mr. Curley said, well, Dr. Shepherd, would you like the farm? My dad said, yep, I'd like the farm. He said, on the agreed price, and here's what they did to buy the farm. You ready for this? They shook hands. They spit in their, no, they didn't do that. They shook hands, and that was it. Integrity. That farmer knew Dad was going to buy the farm, and Dad knew they didn't have to go and sign, books of documents and pages, and just going to buy the farm. We've really changed nowadays, haven't we? To sign up for a cell phone, you've got to have a passport, you've got to have a document, you've got to do this, you got to prove you are who you are. Why? We've lost our integrity. See, as we enter into the Psalms, I think at times we kind of fly through them, and it's good, it's great, wow, it's 1,000 years ago, David's life, wow, woohoo, he lived his life, but man, this is all before Christ. It's definitely not anywhere near to the day and age that we live or the culture that we live in. But can I just tell you, the Word of God is so alive and real, it's real for you and I today. If you believe that, say amen this morning. It's for us. Watch this, David not only had a desire, David had trust. Not in self, but in the Lord. He says this in verse number 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. I have trusted also in the Lord. What a lesson to be learned just from the introduction of this chapter. What if you and I only got this out of the message today? It's just to simply start trusting Him. Is it amazing, even in this last week, in the last 7 days, how much worry and concern has consumed our lives? Worrying won't stop the bad stuff from happening. It just stops you and I from enjoying the good things of life. You and I get so consumed with our worry. We get so consumed with what is taking place and the elections and this going on and the coronavirus and this took place and our job and social distance and what about this and all the schools and what's going to happen this month and this and this. And can I just say, at times, you and I as Christians today, we know we're going to spend an eternity in heaven. We We know that God is seated on the throne. We know that He created the universe. We know that He has existed and exists today and is always going to exist. And yet, isn't it amazing that the psalmist sits back and says, I have trust in the Lord. But the day and age that you and I live in, man, when we'll trust Him to get us to heaven one day, we will trust Him with our salvation. But little things like, well, the coronavirus or elections or the future of America or what's going to happen to our family or some debt or a bad news from a doctor. Isn't it amazing? We'll trust them with our eternity. But when it comes to the simple things of life, our trust is in a psychiatrist or a pill or maybe in what a doctor said or maybe in a lawyer. Our trust is in everything but God. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, if we're truly going to see revival in America, if we're going to see revivals in our home, if we're going to see a turning away from sin and a turning back to God, our trust has got to stop being in the news and CNN and Fox News and Facebook and family and religion and this. It's got to be in the one who controls it all, and His name is Jesus Christ, my friend. We have to go back. It's not like David wrote this when he's sitting on his kingly throne. Everything's good and great. Hear ye, hear ye. Bring in some more grapes. I'm hungry. No, we know from this psalm, things aren't going very well at all. And yet, it wasn't the military. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the future kingdom that David's talking about. He's talking about his God. And friend, I think at times we come in, even on a Sunday morning, if you're learning Pastor Shepherd at all, I am a true Bible believer. I believe what the Word of God says, there is application of things for you and I living today. It's not some archaic book that every once in a while, if we get really down at it, we might get something. I'm just here to tell you, that book is alive for you and I. I think even on a Sunday morning, we can come in, we think, oh, let's get in, Pastor Chris, lead us through some songs. Just Sarah, go, great song, woo, well, it goes really good. All right, Pastor Shepherd, get us out of here. Get us out of here by 11:45, and I'll put in some extra tithe next week. You know what I mean? Let's get in and let's get out. We head out as fast as we can, and we haven't gotten anything from the Lord. I'm asking us as families today, what's our trust in? What is it that has consumed us this past week? I'm just going to pause and say right here for just a moment. There might be somebody here this morning that's really struggled this past week with a marriage relationship. Who are you going to trust to get you through that time? Might be a college student here this morning that's really struggling with going back to Bible college. Who are you going to trust to get you through this dark time? There's a teenager in here that once again dove into the sin that's in the deep, dark places of your heart, and you know it. And you've confessed it, but you've had that thought this past weekend, I'll never get over this. I can never stop being in this habitual sin. Who are you going to trust to get you out? Maybe like many in this room, you've had the thought, America will never be the same again. That's it. It's over. We're just not going to be the same. We've headed down a path, and maybe we're right. Maybe you're right. You know, preachers and men and women have been thinking this for years. I heard a preacher just about a month or two ago that was talking about a Social Security card. And this is preached decades and decades ago. And he's just preaching and preaching. And he was talking about Social Security card. This is the very start in my lifetime. We're going to see this is the beginning of 666. And they're making us carry around these cards. And everybody has to have a Social Security card. Here we are back in the 20s and 30s and saying the same thing that you and I are saying today. Well, it's leading to, boy, you just see it, just ushering in the Antichrist, and here we are. We're closer than we've ever been to going home with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But who's our trust going to be in? In fact, David here in this passage of Scripture had confidence. Verse number 1, look at the last ending here. It says this, I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. When you trust the Lord, your worry is not going to be reigning in your life. Why? Because we know that we are more than conquerors. We won't be tossed around with every wind of doctrine. We're not going to go back and forth. It's not going to be. No, understand, we parked here last week for a long time. Who is our real confidence going to be in? Excuse me, friend, if we're watching CNN, Fox News, CBS, whatever your flavor is, and our confidence is in a red or a blue state, friend, we've just totally missed it. If it is in, well, this person got to get elected, and they got to do this, and it's our military might, and it's this, and it's this, and this. Friend, I'm just showing you, we have lost all touch with what the Word of God says. Because our confidence is not in men, and our confidence is not in princes. And again, I'm just going to say, our confidence is not going to be in a vaccine or in a brand new this or a brand new that, or it's this or it's that. Or look, our confidence is not going to be in this. We got to get in this rhythm to head over here, and then it's going to be to this method, and what this method is leading to this method. It's not going to be in a method. No, our confidence has to be in God. And if you and I would get back to the Word of God and begin to study that, look, the confidence that David had was not in himself. It was not him going back to, well, you know, I did defeat Goliath, and you know, there was that lion and that lamb, and my resume is pretty impressive. So I'm just going to tell you right now, my confidence is in, no, friend, what you and I have to get back to is the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God will lead you and I to a place where our confidence is in nothing else, but our confidence is in the very Word of God. And that's going to lead us. From this psalm, I believe David knew the importance of self-examination. Judge me. Too many times we forget what manner of men you and I are. It's the book of James that says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding a natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he shall not be forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. In the verse number one, we really do find the importance of reflection. David said here, I have walked. Did you see that? Maybe you ought to underline there, put a star beside it. I have walked. You and I need to examine where we have been spiritually in order to see the changes that need to be made. You and I, watch very carefully. Where are we spiritually compared to where we were in 2020? That means this, friend. I understand that a lot of times we as preachers preach, we must move on. We got to move forward. You know, put your hand to the plow. No man had looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. It was Paul that said, I press toward the mark. I move. I'm in a forward direction. Can I just say this? Yes, we talk about all that, but understand sometimes, like David, when we look at where we have been, I have walked. That's a looking at, it's like walking on the beach. And you're walking, it's the wave just, use your imagination. A wave just came up and the wave just goes back. What's in front of you? Seashells. No. Tune in for a moment. Nothing. And so you begin to walk, and the wave is down, and you're walking, and there's nothing in front of you. But Brother Josh, you look back, what's going to be there? Footprints. You're like, oh, yeah, footprints. Yeah, footprints. You walked. There's a path. There's something behind you. I have walked. Can I just say, we need some men and women and some teenagers and some college students and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to realize that we have a path behind us. And God has worked through some good times and some bad times. And we move on. Watch the application. We move on for the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are still some times left behind us, some scars or some ups and downs. Or some times in our life that it was difficult. And we have those times in our life that, watch very carefully, you and I can use for the next generation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? All right, well, let's just pause right here for just a moment. You ready for this? I believe that there are moments in our life that God has allowed us to go through that were very difficult moments. so that you and I have a testimony to show others what God has brought us through. If I were to ask the question today, how many in here, even our visitors, if I were to ask the question, members who have been here since, you know, Eagledale was here in the 1800s. Okay, if you're here, all of a sudden you woke up like, I don't think that. Okay, look, it doesn't matter. Everyone today, if I were to ask, could you please stand if you are perfect? Go ahead and stand. Now, don't do it, okay? But if I were to ask, if you would stand right now, go ahead and stand. Do you know how many people ought to be standing? Say it out loud. Zero, none, nada, nobody. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, it says, there's nobody in the overflow section. If you're visiting with us, there's an overflow section here with 800 people in here. So I've talked to them sometimes as well. That means that even the overflow section or over here, if I were to ask you, say, Brother Dan, nobody should be standing. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody, there's nobody has lived outside of Jesus Christ a perfect life on this earth. But if you and I go through life acting like we've never sinned and we're this perfect person, and boy, I'm just telling you, I am so glad I am not as this man as we have in the New Testament. If you and I go through life acting like, you know, boy, what they've gone through, I've gone through that, but I'm just telling you right now, I'm never going to tell anybody about that. Let me just tell you, friend, you and I ought to be open with the next generation coming up and reaching out to that next generation that, look, we've gone through some trials. We made some errors. We made some mistakes, and God corrected where we were, and we allowed Him to mold our lives in such a way that there were things that we learned. And as we look back at this generation, it's not a judgy judge. I can't believe that you would. Well, we never let our kids. Well, I'm just telling you right now, back when our generation, we would never know. It's not this judgy type of mentality, this lofty look that we are better than everybody else. No, friend, it's you and I saying that, look, we've gone through a hard time. We've gone through death in the family, and I know what you're going through, sister. I know what you're going through, brother, and I'm just here to tell you, God will use this circumstance in my life, and He brought me out, and He got me away from. It's you and I taking somebody in discipleship and saying, look, you're not the first person to have ever gone through this difficult time of being on drugs or being involved in alcohol or being involved with the wrong type of friends. Let me just share a story with you. How God used my life, and He got in and corrected me, and He loved me, and He gave me mercy and showed me grace. And what are you and I doing? We're looking back at where we've been. Why? So that we can share with the next generation that you and I have not lived perfect lives, and there's a lost and dying world out there that they look at Cross Point Baptist Church and think, I could never be part of them because I'm not perfect. Well, neither are we. But aren't you glad we serve a perfect Savior? Do you see how the Word of God just, I've walked. I've had integrity. I've had good times. Could David say that he had integrity his entire life? No. The guy was a murderer. The guy committed fornication. The guy on several circumstances put his trust in might and numbers more than in God. And yet the Bible says that David had a heart like God. Wow. Wow. See, all of us have a story in here. That story has been being written right now. You and I cannot rewrite our past, but we absolutely can write our future. None of us can go back. Boy, I'm telling you, and how many times do we hear that? Boy, preacher, I'm just telling you, if I could just go back, boy, if I just go back to 1976, when I just made that mistake, and this, look, we can't go back. There's no do-overs. Today is the 10th. You know that January 9th of 2021, you and I will never live again. Yesterday, we never get it back. That 24-hour period, Brother Sean, we don't get to do it over. We never get it back. But do you know that January 11th, 2021, it's not here yet? Oh, David said here, this reflection is, I have walked, but we also see this resolve. Look at verse number 11 here of chapter number 26. Skip ahead just a little bit. Look at verse number 11. It says this, chapter 26, verse number 11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. He says this, that, look, I have walked in verse number 1. Verse number 11 says, I will walk. There's an examination, a reflection that's taking place. Why? Because where were we in 2020? We definitely don't want to be in 2021. We don't want to keep our relationship the same. Everybody, watch this for just a moment. Every man in here, and husbands, just tune in. You maybe really need to get this for just a moment. Every year that we are married is not another year that our relationship with our wife, you ready for this, gets worse. It's a good time to say amen. It ought to get better. And all God's men said, amen, it gets better. Karen and I have been married for almost some years, and 15, I'm just joking, 15 years, correct? 15 years, come on, 15 years. Care, you and I would say without a doubt, every year has gotten better. Except for that one year. Do you remember? Every year, would we not say it's gotten better? In fact, we always tell young people get married. Every year gets better and better and better. I think as we get older and older couples in here, we ought to never give the advice to a younger generation. Well, enjoy it while you can, you know. The honeymoon stage will end, and after that first year, it all goes downhill. I just kind of scare these poor young people to death. I was really thinking, year number two, here it comes. You know, it's like the terrible twos of raising kids. Oh no! And it got better, and it was great. It was why we love our wives. Wives, we love our husbands. And it gets better, and it gets better, and you grow closer, and you know each other. And the first years of our marriage, we communicated all the time, do we not? And then 5 years in, we communicate a little bit less. Now it's so funny. I really feel like Carrie and I just know each other, don't we? She can give me a look, and I just know, oh, yeah, okay. You know, she'll give me that look, and I'm like, oh, yeah. All right, let's go to invitation. Okay, you don't have to say anything. You know each other more and more and more. You know, that ought to be like our Abba Father. I don't want to know him the same that I knew him in 2020. No, I want to know him more. I don't want to be mundane. I just don't want to get through. I just don't want to make it. Well, okay, check it out. Checklist. I read my Bible again this year. Yeah, I made it, 50 out of the 52 weeks. I almost got there. I don't want that in my relationship to be there. I want to reflect of where I have walked. Why? So I can come to a resolve of where I will walk. I want 2021. I want to know you more, and I want to know your precepts more, and I want to study your word more, and I want to tell more people about you. And why? Because it's like a fleshly relationship we have with somebody on this earth. We don't want it to just be the same, and it's mundane. And, well, we made through another year, babe, I guess. I'll get you something for anniversary. Okay. Wow, another year. No. It's a love for a husband. It's a love for a wife. And it's another year we get to serve together and be together. And that love begins to multiply and multiply and multiply. And just like the psalmist, may that be our mindset that, okay, we have walked here and we've gone through difficult times. Why? So that we can help and share with others. The single mom that's in this auditorium today that's struggling to make it through and not going to be able to make it. Maybe there's another mom in here that can reach out, or maybe there's that dad in here that's struggling with raising that teenager, and I don't know how I'm ever going to get through, and I don't know how to have a relationship with him, and we don't like any of the same things. And there's an older man who has already raised a teenage son that can reach back to a younger generation and say, I went through the same thing. He likes sports, and I like hunting, and I like this, and he like this, and I didn't think we'd ever get through, but here's how God allowed us to get through that tough time. Maybe there's somebody in here that they look back at their life, and you went through a difficult time in finances, and you went through a difficult time of debt, and you're watching a younger generation, another couple go through that, where you can reach back and say, here's God's precepts and money, here's where we begin to give to him, and here's where we begin to bless, and here's what we begin to do. Look, watch, it's this. It's a looking back. Why? So that we can look forward. Nobody wants to look back at 2020.
Oh, I hated that year.
Yeah, well, a lot of us really did. It was this thing called, you remember that thing called coronavirus? Yeah, that took place in 2020, 2021. I thought when the ball dropped in New York, everything was going to be just fine. And guess what? It wasn't. And here we are. So what is our resolve going to be? I'm going to keep pushing towards my Savior. Now, I'm almost done. Don't shut your Bibles just yet, but just watch for just a moment. Remember, we're just laying a foundation of this commitment, this relationship with God, this knowing Him. There's a reflection. There is a resolve. Now watch. And from these verses, we see the importance from the child of God to examine him or herself. Christian, self-judgment is a time of honesty before the Lord, in which the believer is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to point out spiritual failures and a willingness to honestly correct them. The Holy Spirit uses two words here, really three words here, verse number two. It says this, examine me. Who is the psalmist talking to? He's not taking a poll. He's not putting a picture on Instagram and saying, rate this. He's not asking for suggestions. He's talking to God and he says, examine. How do you and I do an examination? It's not getting together with a counselor. It's not getting together with a pastor's wife. It's not getting together with Miss Kim and saying, well, examine me. Tell me what's wrong. This is not what the psalmist is talking about. Examine through the very word of God. Look at this other word it says here. Oh Lord, and prove me. Approving through divine testing. But can I just tell you, God will put you and I through the test. If you're visiting with us today, you will never hear this preacher preach, just give your life to God and life is just going to be rainbows, butterflies, Hallmark movie for the rest of your life. You just live the end, happily ever after. Because honestly, that's not scriptural. We're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through trials and testings. But it's amazing that every time we go through those, God once again proves who He is to us. Carrie, you remember this. We came and we got the call from, actually got a text message from Brother Steve, and the vote had just came through, and Cross Point Baptist Church, he just said, congratulations, Pastor. And Carrie and I were, we were so excited, and we were, praise the Lord. You started crying, I started crying. You were just so excited. I remember just driving. We were heading over to church, and we were driving to church, and here it goes. Woo, my mind starts reeling. It's just reeling. Carrie knows my mind's reeling. Okay, we got to sell the house. How are we going to sell the house now? Because we got on the market, but, we got this bid, and this comes through, and, they're FHA, but if we could just get conventional, and I just start going off, and here we go. Just rambling off. And Carrie said, hey, hon. I said, yeah. She said, didn't God sell our house before? Yeah, He did. He's going to take care of it. You ever gone through that in your life? Well, I don't know. The doctor said, didn't they go through remission before? God said, I'll take care of it. Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to come through. And my goodness, if this person just gets in office, I'm just telling you, you might as well just give up. That's it. America's done. Well, haven't we said that for like the last 50, 60 years? If so-and-so gets in, it's all going to come to an end. Everything's going to crash. That's it. It's going to burn. Oh, America's, we know it. It's done. It's gone. Yep. I was a little kid and they were saying that about, you can fill in the blank later, but we've gone through it over and over and over again. And yet, God's still working through His local church. Look at the crowd here today. Is this not amazing? God's still working. It's over. That's done. That's it. Call it quits. Is it? No. He'll prove to us He is who He is. He used the word here in verse number 2. Now watch. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Try. Refine. Job said it like this, but He knoweth the good way I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I wonder when's the last time we said this. Now watch, just you got to get this. When's the last time you and I said, Lord, my life is Yours. My life is Yours. Pastor Blake, would you stand up for just a moment? Just stand up, just for a moment. Now here's, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not going to come all the way back, but here's Pastor Blake, he's a youth pastor here, amen. I meant for him to say amen. Aren't you glad for Pastor Blake and Miss Charlotte? Amen. Got really awkward there. Okay, so, Pastor Blake, you teach our teens, you preach to our teens, you're an amazing, incredible couple. We are very, very blessed to have this couple here. Would you not say, Pastor Blake, oftentimes as a youth pastor, you teach the teenagers of Cross Point Baptist Church to let God use their life? Would you say that's correct? Why do you think, Pastor Blake, we haven't rehearsed this. He's probably nervous right now. He's thinking, it's not a trick question, but why do you think you teach the teenagers that so much? And they haven't been where you've been yet, have they? So we often teach our young kids in here, our teenagers, give your life to God. Let God use your life. Let Him mold you. Let Him make you. Guide, direct, all the moms and dads in here, do we not? Over and over and over again. Let God lead you. Okay, but that's good. That's great. Thank you, Pastor Blake, so much. And I praise the Lord for a youth pastor that says that. But wouldn't you say maybe we're a little bit hypocritical when we want our young teenagers and young kids to do something that we're not doing ourselves? Yes, try. Yes, examine. Oh, man. Preacher Parker there, because I'm here to tell you right now, so-and-so walked in those back doors, and that's what they need today. They just need to be tried. They need to examine. They just, to be honest with you, they just need to get right with God. Isn't it funny? We got everybody in here. Well, they need, well, they, where they've been. Oh, yeah, they won't come to church. Well, they could sure go shopping. Well, they can do this. We just pick out everything and everybody else. And, boy, we'll hammer hard on our college students. Give your life to God. Let the potter, you know, shape your life and let Him use you and let Him dream for you. And great. But what about us, parents? Grandparents, when's the last time we knelt down and said, Lord, try me. Examine me. Lord, whatever You want to do with my life, I don't care if I'm in the third, fourth, the quarter of my life. I don't care, Lord, if I'm in my 70s. God, I am placing myself on the wheel. And I'm taking my hands off. And Lord, would You put Your hands on? Whatever You want to do, however You want to mold, however You want to make, whatever trials You want to come, however You want me to reach back, God, I am willing. Can I ask this congregation, visitors, church members, brothers and sisters in Christ, when's the last time we said, judge me, examine me? Because He knows our hearts.